This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast. Radiothon is now on, and we need your support. This is our one time a year that we ask you to support Joy so we can continue being a voice for the LGBTI community of Melbourne and beyond. By becoming a member, renewing your membership, or donating to Joy, you will keep out loud and proud LGBTI voices on air and on podcast. And around 50 volunteers work hard around the clock to make them available. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Then we hope you head to joy.org.au to find out how you can support us this radiothon. We still need Joy. Your voice. Your radio station.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Nichols Family Lawyers. Family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. We have expertise in all areas of law relating to rainbow families, including surrogacy, sperm and egg donation agreements, adoption, co-parenting arrangements, and arrangements for children after separation. Mention Joy and receive a free 30-minute consultation. Find out more and get in touch at nicholslaw.com.au. Nichols Family Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
Good evening, Thursday night, Family Matters, my favourite hour of radio, and it's probably yours as well.
One of my top three.
Beck, you're here tonight, and our very lovely producer, Gina. How are you guys tonight?
I'm good, I'm sitting back. Dave, you're driving the buttons. I'm chilling.
Yeah, I'm just having a bit of issues
just
with that.
Just doing a bit of online shopping here for mum, because it's Mother's Day on
Yeah,
Sunday.
Better get on to that.
Yeah. What have we got for our mums?
Well, clearly nothing yet.
Yeah, I haven't got anything
gift-wise.
Yeah, gift-wise.
I bought something, but I forgot to post it. Don't tell my mum.
Yes, and we are speaking with your mum very soon, Andel from Adelaide.
If she asks, I've posted it.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Look at you passing just
blame
judgment.
Australian Post.
What are you doing for your mother?
Yeah,
on Mother's
that's
Day.
Right.
Not a lot. Sorry, Bob. Also, we're speaking with Michelle from Stand Up Straight.
Yes, we've got another mum and Mish
story.
Coming in.
Yeah.
And we had an interview with a fertility specialist from Sydney who actually went through IVF herself in her early 40s to talk about that.
Jenna, we have got a jam-packed show.
Yeah, I think so. So we just should we just get into it?
Yeah. We'll speak about how you can get involved in a sec. But
we will.
It's Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
It is Family Matters, Gina, Beck and myself, Dave, on a Thursday night, my favourite hour of radio.
Stop sucking up to your own show, mate.
Now, we want to know what you've got your mother for Mother's Day, so text in 0427JOY949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au.
Because we actually don't know what to buy our mothers for Mother's Day and we'd love to steal some ideas, except for Beck, who has bought a gift but not sent it.
No, yet. I have sent
it's called
it.
FedEx.
You haven't sent it. You just admitted before you haven't sent it.
Yeah, it's over there in your bag.
Okay. Well, we're about to speak to your mum, Andel, who is in Adelaide.
Mm.
And we won't tell her.
No, we won't.
But you haven't sent it yet.
Okay.
Now, on the line, Andel, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you all?
I'm doing fantastic. You, Anne?
Not too bad at all. Yep, going well.
And Dave and I have just confessed, your daughter's a good one, but Dave and I have confessed that we have not yet bought our mothers anything for Mother's Day. What we'd like to know about our beautiful Beck over here, what has been some of the best, well, maybe knowing Beck, and some of the worst presents that she's bought you over the years?
Well, probably the best one would be the easy one. Because a couple of years ago, we were out for dinner celebrating Mother's Day, and the next thing, Beck walks in.
Aww.
And I was blown away. So, yep, that was probably the best one I think she's given me.
Because I am the greatest gift there is.
Yes, that's right. The gift that keeps on giving.
Now, I'm all about the gossip. I want the nasty stuff. What's been the bad stuff?
Well, actually, they're not too bad with organising the presents because I'm very overt on the parameters of what is required.
Pays to advertise, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah, well, it does. I mean, you know, I know it's all about giving, yes, blah, blah, blah. But do you want, you know, a scarf that's in a colour you would never wear? No. So you need to be quite overt about what you need. And I think Beck, you know, has always, always listened to her mother.
Oh, yeah.
So she does, exactly. So she doesn't tend to bugger it up too often, thankfully.
Do you know what, though? Mum also has another rule, nothing for the kitchen.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, no electrical appliances. It has to be personal.
Yeah. Oh, so she's very, like, good at getting gifts. She's very good at it.
When she was a little tacker, you know those gifts that they make them make from school?
What did
she bring home then? Was she pretty good with the macaroni and you know, the glue gun?
That's actually a point of contention, actually, between Beck and I, now that you've brought up our ugly family history and relationship problems, because I'm not really what you would define as sentimentalist. So, Beck, yes, she lovingly glued the macaroni on the cardboard and spray painted it, brought it home, touching, but they all got thrown out.
Well, the word tacky comes to my mind.
Well, you can't even recycle it when there's plaster on it.
And what are you doing? What are you doing for Mother's Day? Will Tom be looking after you?
Yes, yes. So we're going out to breakfast down at Henley Square. So that'll be lovely. So we normally do breakfast Mother's Day. So that's our tradition. So yep, we'll be off to breakfast, but not too early because you know the young folk, they can't get up too early. So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Now coming up on this bumper edition of Family Matters, we've got actually Michelle coming in to talk about her son's coming out. Now this is. I don't know where to start. Yeah,
but look, yeah.
This is probably not the time and place for Beck to tell you this, but. Beck, you got a confession?
Yeah, well, I mean, I...
You got something to tell your mum?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about time, Beck.
I do spend a lot of time at Joy.
Yes, because it brings you great joy.
It does.
Oh, we should record that for a promo, actually.
I know. I see what they've done there with the title. Yeah.
And, you know, I do have a lot of friends in the LGBTR community and sometimes things just catch on. But this week what's happened is I've actually cut my fringe off really short.
Oh, dear God. Well, Beck, seriously.
What were you thinking she was going to say?
Well, like, I thought suddenly there was a partner on the horizon.
You needed an imagination for that one, Anne.
Mum's like, I don't care what gender they are. Love is love.
Right.
Do you have some advice for Beck using scissors?
Well, I think I don't get why she even tried. Like, she's never, ever been able to cut anything straight in her entire life. So, you know, why suddenly has she developed this skill?
Really why you threw away those handmade gifts that she made at school? Because, you know, her pen license might have come a bit late.
Yeah, she was a bit slow on the uptake, quite frankly.
I had to do remedial cutting, didn't I, Mum?
Yes, you did.
They sent sheets home for me to cut out shapes because I was so bad at it.
What, with like little outlines that you had to follow?
Yeah.
And you had, did you cut in the line or around the line? No.
I was crap at it.
That's hilarious.
But through the line.
Yeah. Wow. Don't hold back, Anne. This week I thought I'd just try my hair.
You know, I think if you took up hairdressing, you would make a great lawyer.
Now, and talking about some things that are shocking like Beck's fringe to the Adelaide Crows are doing so well at the moment. Now, it is Bernie Vince and ex-Crows 200th this week. Will you be cheering him or booing him?
I'm not one for booing, and I do actually have the soft spot for the old Bernie, because I think he's one of those kids on the school report would have had never reached his full potential. Mm. But since he's gone to Melbourne, he's actually, like, improved out of sight.
Now, we couldn't have you on, Anne, without asking you a footy question.
It's
now,
always so, chicks' mums talking footy. Is.
So on behalf of Joy 94.9, but especially myself as well, happy Mother's Day, Anne.
Thank you.
We love you,
Thank
Anne.
You.
Have
You're
a beverage.
We
have
love
a beverage.
You. I love you too.
Aww. Aww. Happy Mother's Day. Your present's yes, on its way. You. If Australia Post is late, I'll be very angry at them.
Yes, I can imagine.
Okay, happy Mother's Day, Anne. See you later.
Bye.
Okay, good on you. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Your mother is a dear, isn't she?
She's a doll.
Oh, she is a doll.
She's a doll.
By name and by nature.
Yes.
Family Matters, produced by our lovely Gina on 94.9. Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Gina Beck and myself, David, in the studio tonight. Now, we want to know, what are you getting your mothers for Mother's Day? So text in 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. And Beck, what is happening over there? You're excited.
Well,
what's happening?
I am excited, Dave. We've just got a donation from Mark from Windsor, and the donation is $2,000.
$2,000.
Mark from Windsor. Go you.
Real claps. Well done.
Amazing.
Mark.
That's so exciting.
Now, every dollar counts. It goes to keeping, well, it goes to keeping us on air, but also Joy on air.
Absolutely. That could almost, like, pay for us to go visit Andal and give her a present on time.
Mark from Windsor.
That's amazing.
We love you.
Absolutely.
How good is that? I'm really excited by that.
Well, if you too would like to make a donation, you can do what Mark has done. You can go on our website, make a donation. You can renew your membership. You can just call the desk, because we love being out loud and proud, and we actually really love coming in each week and being part of Family Matters. Now, it is Mother's Day, and we are going to take a little bit of a serious... I know we're never serious.
Sometimes we are.
But we are going to take a slightly serious turn, because Mother's Day for some people is actually not a really easy day. I mean, we're joking about what gifts to buy mums. No, really, we haven't bought them anything. But for some people, Mother's Day just kind of highlights the fact that they might not be mums yet. And we know we've spoken a lot about fertility on the show, and infertility affects around 1 in 6 couples at any given point in their lives. So Mother's Day can be particularly difficult. Now, to help us kind of talk about this infertility and talk about, you know, the effects of struggling to fall pregnant, we had an opportunity to speak with Dr. Jessup from Sydney, who is a gynecologist, a fertility specialist, and knows exactly what her patients go through, because she herself also struggled to fall pregnant through IVF when she was in her early 40s. So we were lucky to have a chat to her, and she completely understands the reasons it can be extra hard on Mother's Day for those that are still trying or have tried, and it gets really hard. So she's going to help kind of talk us through some of the most common fertility issues, and sadly, they kind of fall around age.
I was lucky enough to have children relatively easily when I was younger and then had a tubal ligation, as you do after 4 children, thinking that that will be the end, and then had a new partner and decided to have one more. So at that point, I needed to go down a path of IVF that I was not expecting, and I was quite surprised how many times it took at the age of 41 when I had conceived so easily when I was in my early 30s.
So you probably saw a side of fertility that a lot of your patients go through, that sometimes first go doesn't always work. It does.
No, it doesn't always work. And it's sort of... It helped me talking to my patients to say, you know, at the age of 39 or 40 or 41, this may be hard. It's not that you particularly may be infertile. It's just the age that catches up with everybody. Mm. So if you had decided to have a family and the situation was right, you know, 15 years ago, it may have been a breeze then as well. The reality is, though, when we all try to have kids later on, we're all stuck with the same issues of aging eggs and the potential that endometriosis may have caught up with us or other bits and pieces. So it's harder. Well, we all know that 20-year-olds get pregnant incredibly easily. And these days when we are using donor eggs, often we can get those, you know, from overseas. We're using, you know, eggs from women who are 20, 21, 22, and we know that those eggs are excellent quality. We see them, we thaw them, they fertilise, they make great blastocysts. And it's very evident how in some ways the body was meant to have children when you were that young, even though most individuals, even
emotionally,
struggle to think of them as grown-ups. You know, in the 20s, fertility drops a little bit, but it doesn't drop massively until you get into your 30s. By about the age of 37, your chance of getting pregnant begin to go down. Your chance of not getting pregnant easily, I should say, go down quite quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's a much steeper slope. And by the time you hit your 40s, it's almost a vertical downhill slope in terms of even a few months or 6 months can make a difference between the ovaries working or not working. Fortunately, we don't have a crystal ball, though. If you knew you were going to go through menopause at 45, you would know that you needed to start either thinking about starting a family or freezing eggs or doing something earlier on. But we don't know that until we get there. And the only marker we've got to give us an idea of that is the anti-Müllerian hormone level, which is the ovarian egg timer test that we talk about.
For rainbow families in particular, it's only been in the last, less than a decade that IVF treatment, depending on what state you're in, has even been accessible. So it has, and the cost factor as well for some of those couples. So for some, they have had to come to it quite a bit late.
If I hadn't have been getting any eggs, they hadn't been doing the right thing or hadn't been making blastocysts, I may have decided enough's enough and I wouldn't pursue down that path anymore. But we decided if we were getting blastocysts and it looks like there was a chance of getting pregnant, then we would keep going. And I think what a lot of couples do fall down with is that they have a hard time with IVF and then say, look, this is emotionally very difficult, and stop for a long time. And it prolongs the phase that they're trying to get pregnant. And in the meantime, their fertility decreases quite rapidly so that when they restart again, they're in a more difficult situation than they had originally been. So we try and get people, I try and advise my patients to live completely normal lives when they're going through IVF. Go out to dinner with friends, have a cup of coffee in the morning, still have sex with your partner, all normal. Just have a normal life, because if it does take a few cycles, you've got to psychologically be able to get through that. And the statistics show that after three cycles of IVF, 60% of people of women going through it are pregnant.
The cost might also become a factor. So for some people, they probably do get to a point where they do need to stop. Thinking of couples that are either right now struggling with fertility or have been unsuccessful, I'm assuming things like Mother's Day would be a really, really hard day.
And that's hard for all sorts of people. It's hard for individual women who are single, or when you've tried to get pregnant and it isn't working. I think it's a time to talk about, to talk with the partner or to talk with somebody about what you want going forward. Sometimes just having dealt with the fertility issue and having some options helps people deal with what they've got in the future. I suppose these days we are lucky that we do have options of donor eggs, and even, 10 years ago, that really wasn't a realistic option for most people. So nowadays we're seeing people who are able to get pregnant using donor eggs that only 10 years ago wouldn't have been able to do that at all. When they wake up and think, I am not a mother yet and I would very much like to be a parent, I think seize the moment by the horns and say, okay, so if I'm feeling this way, what can I do? And for some people, it may be making that first step, talking to somebody, going to see a specialist, finding out what options there are. That may be all it takes for some people to start. It may just be a prompt or a reminder that this is the path that they need to invest in. You know, both couples, both women in the relationship might be wanting to have children. They forget that maybe if one wants to have a child first, the other one also has aging eggs, and it's something that needs to be discussed with both partners as to what both might want going forward. I think for those people that have already tried to get pregnant and have been unsuccessful, Mother's Day is extraordinarily hard. It's just a reminder of everything that they've gone through that they haven't got there yet. There generally are options these days. And, you know, even for people in their late 40s, you know, the fact that there are now donor eggs, that might not be the preferred option, but it is an option. And I think as I said, there weren't these options available before. So I think it's a matter of discussing it with friends or maybe a counsellor and seeing if these new options are actually realistic options. Both partners are going through the same hope and the same disappointment if the pregnancy doesn't occur in that cycle. So it's on both sides. So I think just supporting each other, and everyone has a hard time when they're going through fertility treatment. It's not just the person with the hormones. It can be sometimes equally or even more so frustrating and difficult for the partners that are having to give the injections or watch the despair. It's definitely a time to pull together as a team.
Make a cup of tea, take care of each other, love each other, maybe turn off social media and the television that on Sunday if it is all feeling too hard.
I think both, yeah, absolutely excellent ideas. I think the social media comment is very pertinent because as couples or individuals are going through difficult fertility times, say, nobody's going to ring them up and say, oh, guess what, my little girl's doing wonderful things, when they know that their friend has just had a failed cycle or miscarried. Mm-hmm. And yet social media, it's there. People just put stuff up and it comes through to your mailbox every single day. Things that you wouldn't ring and talk to a friend about, but with social media, it's there and it pops up on their mailbox. So it's a different world that we're in now. And I think you're right. I think just turning it off on certain days is the way to go and just focusing on something completely different.
So that was our interview with Dr. Jessop, who herself also went through IVF in her early 40s and did struggle during that time, was successful in the end with a son. But Mother's Day, as we were saying and as she was touching on there, it is a really hard time for some people. And we've had a counsellor on before, so people that are going through the formal IVF channels know that they have counsellors that are available for them that they can kind of touch base with. And their service isn't just there, as when we spoke to Melbourne IVF, to just say, tick a box, here's your compulsory counselling. Their service is actually available for individuals to touch in at any point in time. My concern is there are people who don't go through the formal channels of IVF to fall pregnant. They might be using home insemination and they might not have access to these fertility counsellors. So, you know, make sure you are talking to people.
And taking care of yourself.
Take care of yourself.
Probably the main one, yeah.
Absolutely. Talk to your partner. Talk to a friend. Find someone to confide in. Find a GP. If you need to, call Lifeline 131114, switchboard 1800 184 527. So many things, and that might just be that. Put up, those no junk mail signs on the lead up to it. You know, if that day just is all too much, just make sure you do nice things to take care of yourself.
Yeah, nice dinner out.
Yeah. Mother's Day, yeah, for many reasons is not going to be easy for people. So please, please take care of each other.
Now, coming up after, we are talking to Stanley Straits, Michelle, who has a gay son in Nelson, and she's going to explain about, you know, how does it be to be a mother of a gay son and what was involved in that, I guess.
Maybe what she got for Mother's Day.
Yeah. What's been her worst and best Mother's Day present.
Hopefully she won't be as cutting as some other mothers we've had on the show tonight.
And now we're also trying to find out, what have you got your mother for Mother's Day? So text in on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Or maybe if you're a mum who's listening and you want to give some suggestions for what you would like.
Like I love mum said, you know.
You just know what to get her. There's no mucking around.
And nothing for the kitchen. Like, spoiler with nice stuff.
Yeah.
And you can also catch up with us on social media, of course. Our Twitter is Family Matters 94. The Facebook Family Matters on Joy.
The Book of Faces.
As my mother likes to say. And you can catch up on our podcast. We just loaded our latest one with the parents of gender diverse children.
Yeah.
joy.org.au/Family Matters.
Subscribe on iTunes and remember to rate and review, and just especially how good I am.
Yeah,
that's
rate
all
us
I
well,
need.
Though, yeah. Please.
Hashtag find David. It is Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Family Matters on Joy 94.9, my favourite hour of radio. Now, to get involved, tell us what you're getting your mum for Mother's Day. Text in on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
Yes, and continuing with our Mother's Day theme tonight, we have another mother. Sound like a rapper.
sup?
Sup? That very street voice you just heard there was the dulcet tones of Michelle Barber from Stand Up Straight, who we're lucky enough to have with us tonight. Michelle, that song we just played, Take Your Mama, the Scissor Sisters, was your choice. Mm-hmm. Why is that song so special?
Well, thank you for asking me, sister. Is that how the young kids talk these days?
This is what happened.
David. Calm down. Calm down, calm down, Mish Dog.
Mish B. Get it right if you're going to give me one of those street names.
Oh, well, the mother's ready to come out and in. She's already told me off once.
That's right.
Go to your room. That song, when I first, when my show went to air, the very first song I played was that song because originally when I had the idea about doing a show, it was going to be about parents and gay kids, and then I realised it didn't have as much longevity. There was a lot more stuff to talk about, and it was about whenever I hear that song, I just think of my son, and there's some lyrics in it about, you know, how he tries to break the news to his mum in the car. It makes me happy, and I think of Nelson whenever I hear the song.
So can you tell us the moment Nelson came out to you?
I can, and the interesting thing about that song is that Nelson also came out to me while I was driving the car. So, and I remember a little bit of a backstory. He'd been overseas. He'd realised, I think he'd realised himself, and he was kind of ready to come out. And we were on the way to rehearsal. He, unbeknownst to me at the time, he'd met a boy that he was dating, and it kind of felt, he has said this, that it kind of felt like it was the right time. And so we're driving to rehearsal, and I remember exactly where I was. I remember which intersection. And he said, and I won't use the guy's name in case he doesn't want me to. He said, oh, you know, so-and-so, he's not just a friend, he's actually a boyfriend. And that was how he came out to me. Wow. And I remember the first thing, it's like you see this in movies. I just wanted to say, but I love you unconditionally, or, you know, I love you forever, or it doesn't make a difference, just ooh, my son. And I said something silly like that, but, you know, I love you. And I remember sweating bullets and my not wanting to do or say the wrong thing ever. That's how it came out.
Did you know?
Do you know, I didn't know on a conscious level, but I think when I look back, I think, that's why he didn't have a girlfriend. Or
that's why he went to San Francisco for the
Castro history.
Lots of rainbows in the photos
correct.
Back.
No. I do remember him telling it after we talked a lot about it quite soon after it came out, and he said things that when he was on the computer that he'd be looking, and he realised that he could clear the history, and he was often scared. He said that he was scared that he might see the history, that we might see the history of what he'd been looking at. You know.
So you've mentioned the internet and driving. How old was Nelson?
So
when
he was 16.
16,
yeah,
okay.
Just gone 16. He'd come out to a couple of his friends a couple of years before. He didn't want to come out. He's quite a smart kid, and he just sort of thought, I don't want to have to come out. I don't think it should be a thing. He just wanted to be. But he felt that it was that certain people in his life that he should come out to.
And I'm just still, because you're so young, Michelle, you look so beautiful. How many years ago was this? I'm just trying to get.
He's 23 now, just 20, turned. Wow. Yeah. Which, well, I don't know if that's old, 16 now, to come out, or young, or whether that's kind of an average age. It kind of seems.
I would probably say it's probably a little bit younger than average, I reckon.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, maybe it is.
I got found out at 16. I don't know if I would have had the courage, like your son did, to come out at 16.
You have to create, as parents, you have to create a space. Now, how that space is, whether it's whatever it is, we've always been very broad-minded, Stephen and I. Like, so if Nelson said, you know, what is this or what is this on the body, we didn't say, oh, that's the front bottom or that's the, you know, the wee-wee bits. We'd use the real words, and we always had, and he had great pride, and he always had a joke with his friends, don't ask my mum because she'll tell you the truth, because they try and catch me out or embarrass him or me. And we would say, I remember having a conversation of trying to explain what first, second, third and fourth base was.
Oh, could you explain it to me?
Yeah, because I can't remember. So I was probably doing the refreshing course.
When two grown-ups like each other.
I did play baseball for a few years. But anyway.
We were driving to baseball and that's how it came up.
Swing, softball. That was always, it's fastball.
Were there some changes? Did Nelson go through any changes before coming out to after? Did he have some struggles while being in the closet, so to speak?
No, he was also, well, I don't think so, not that he said very much. In hindsight, I think there were. But at school, he was very, his school was very supportive. And it was funny that when he came out, the teacher that was most supportive was gay. And he was very, you know, the teacher's very flamboyant. And he had a very strong influence, I think, on Nelson at school in an indirect way, knowing that there was a teacher to go to or some safe space as well. So I don't think he changed a lot, but he was much more himself. He was very much more comfortable, I think. But he didn't want being gay to be the centre of his world. He didn't want to be defined by it, and nor did we want it to be. So I know a lot of people think, oh, you're at Joy because you've got a gay son. It's actually not. So anyway, I've gone off topic a bit, but yeah.
But I guess the little changes, like little tiny changes about maybe not clearing the search history anymore, being able to bring his boyfriend around.
And that's a really...
At 16.
Yeah,
God, because... they're young.
Do you know there's a real comfort in knowing that you, as a parent, to know that your kid is okay being the way they want to be, is okay. Like, there's a really lovely feeling from a mum's perspective that your kid can be themselves. It's a really lovely feeling. And it was a little odd seeing him lying on the couch with his first boyfriend. And it's just different, that's all, you know.
What about the extended family? So Nelson's grandparents and those sorts of things. How did they react, and how did you tell them, and how did that all happen?
I've always believed, as has Stephen, that's absolutely 100% Nelson's story. It's not my story. He's my life, but that's not my story to tell. And I don't think it's fair to – you don't want to come out to everyone. But he told his grandma, my mum, he told his grandma, and he and my mum are extremely close, and I've had a really beautiful relationship. And I do remember that one of the first things, and I hate that my mum gets upset when I say this, but one of the things that my mum said to me is that, oh, you probably won't be a grandma, you know, or you know, that kind of thing. So there was a little bit of that, but she didn't mean it in a hurtful way. She just meant she has that relationship with him that I might not have had.
You might need to get her to tune in at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, Family Matters, and she might realise.
<Aren't>
she? She can catch up on our podcast at joy.org.au/family-matters.
Well done, you. She's extremely supportive. All the family is. I think somebody said that he walked out of the womb. Danced out of the room or pranced out of the room. I didn't notice.
Spirit fingers.
Now jazz hands.
We are talking to Michelle from Stand Up Straight. I guess we're probably about halfway out of the closet at the moment.
Yeah, come
on. With more to come. Yeah. Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
And that little whispery voice here on Family Matters was your son, Nelson.
He was my little baby.
Bless him. Now, we do have Michelle Barber here talking about, I guess, being a mum of a gay son on our Mother's Day special. And we have so many more things we want to ask you, Michelle. But before we do, we have had a membership come in. James from Mont Albert North, who says, love you. Oh, we love you too, James.
Love you, James.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, remember, we've got to keep Family Matters and Stand Up Straight on air. So donate, renew, joy.org.au.
That rhymed.
Dave should be a poet.
He's not just a pretty face and pretty haircut.
I mean, he's pretty-ish. Now, Michelle, you talked about the moment that Nelson came out to you in the car. Was Stephen, your husband, there when that happened?
No, and I don't know if it was a good or a bad thing, because maybe the whole thing, we had very different responses. I sat in the car for about an hour while Nelson was at rehearsal. Then we drove home and I'm thinking, should I ring Stephen first? Do I warn him? What do I do? What do you do? Because there's no handbook, as they say.
No.
And so I walked in the door. Stephen was up the front of the house. I'm using my hands, I know. And Nelson walked to the other end of the house, to the bedroom, and I'm standing here looking at both directions of the house like, what, who's going to speak first? What's going on? And I said, Nelson, you're going to go talk to Dad? Yeah.
I'll get round to it.
And now I'm saying to Stephen, go talk to him, to get it out, because I wanted what I thought was going to be the big discussion or the, you know, the drama or the family meeting. None of that happened, and Nelson walked up to the front. He said, Dad, Mum told you? And I said, you told me a bit, bud, yeah. You know, and I remember Stephen saying, you know, can I swear on this?
Yeah, go for it.
What time is it?
So he said something like, you know, mate, you might get a shitload of drama coming your way, you know, that you know, but we love you and you know, it's cool, mate, it's fine. And it's, and I'm sitting in the kitchen going, more, is there going to be more?
Where's this, isn't how it happens on TV.
Where's the crying, or where's the, because you don't know.
Were you hoping that Nelson to tag along and do some shopping with you and go and watch some musicals with you? Hang and on, is that what you're expecting?
We've already done that. Come on. But it's, I don't know, it's, in emotional time, I will say the next day at work, I went to my friend at work that was gay and I burst into tears. And I can't explain why, but I'd said to him, my son just came out last night and I can't stop crying. I don't know why. Strange.
So did you, like, you clearly, your first reaction was to just say, I love you, you were there. Mm. What, I mean, is it because you were, you had a gay workmate? What did you know other gay people?
Yes.
Did you have the internet? Like, of course you had the internet, but like, no, your immediate reaction was such a positive one. So I guess because I've got a parent that didn't do that at 16, they did the exact opposite. So that's where I'm trying to go. How did you?
I don't know. I don't know where it came from. We've always been very frank and honest and at home.
Which is fabulous.
As a sister.
Should be the norm.
And I can't explain why. My parents were like that, quite broad-minded as well. And conversations just have always happened. And I've always, do you know what, one of the keys, when you pick your kids up from a party, keep your mouth shut, because they jabber away in the back of the car with their mates and you find out a hell of a lot more. Or ask, don't ask, God, I sound like a wanker. So don't ask yes, no answer questions. Ask, did so-and-so, what did so-and-so do today, or was so-and-so at school today and did that?
This is parent intel.
This is good for us to learn.
And because, but also don't pry. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a safe space. Create a safe space and an honest space and don't judge them. I think that's probably for me.
And Stephen's first reaction you mentioned was, you know, there might be a bit of drama coming your way and whatever else. Is that sort of like the early learning of resilience? And I'm going to lead on to sort of like the role of, you're obviously involved in Stand Up Straight, the role of allies as well for the rainbow community. How important are they?
They are invaluable. I think to go first to the Stephen, we always had trans friends and gay friends always. I never saw them as trans or gay. They were just our friends. And that sounds cliche, but they just weren't. They just were our friends. We've known through theatre or work or whatever. And Stephen used to live with someone 40 years ago that was gay. So we've just always, they've always been part of our life. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you just are born a certain way as far as being accepting. I don't know if it's necessarily nurture or nature. I don't know if that makes sense. But being an ally, something about having a gay person in your life, whether it's your neighbour, your co-worker or your family member, I believe you get quite protective of them. And I don't know, I will instantly go on a soapbox, or if I hear something going on the tram or in a restaurant, I get a bit hypersensitive that I have to defend. And I saw two ladies holding hands only 2 or 3 days ago walking down the street, and I wanted to almost say to them, I'm on your side. It's that kind of, I don't know, I just think you're born an ally in lots of ways, not just to the GLBTI community. I just think you're born that way as well, ironically enough.
Michelle, did you come and find Joy because Nelson was gay, or how did that come about?
It's an interesting question because people ask me that and assume because I got a gay son. I first started listening to Joy because Nelson would be in the car. But I didn't come to Joy because of him. In a nutshell, Stephen and I produced a play, ate the play that was on at part of Midsummer in 2013, and the profits have to go to, when you get the rights to put the show on, the money has to go to GLBTI organisations or marriage equality. So we had part of the funds raised go to Joy, Minus 18, and the Enough campaign. And that's how we came through the Joy doors, really, not because of Nelson. I've been quite conscious about trying to keep it separate or keeping him separate. And he, as I said before, gay is not his life. Gay doesn't define him at all. So I've been very mindful of keeping it separate. However, the fact that I have a gay son is the best thing in my entire life because it's provided this indirectly or directly. And it's this will sound wanky, but I I feel
put her in a later time slot, and we don't know what. Like,
that's right.
I feel that this Loose is what shot. I'm meant to do, and if I didn't have a gay son, maybe I wouldn't have this opportunity. So that's the connection with a gay son and Joy.
I'm feeling the love. Becca, are you feeling the love? Mish, you know we love you, but I'm extra excited feeling
well,
the love.
Well, we've had another membership from, I don't want to mispronounce this, Nagiz. Forgive me if I pronounced it wrong. Message in and tell me. From Q, who signed up as a Joy member.
Eastern Suburbs. Rocking it tonight.
Represent.
Love you guys.
Fantastic effort.
Well done.
And again, talking about, there's obviously people that listen to Joy that might not be out. So speaking about donations and Radiothon, how important is having this environment here at Joy?
I think it's everything. Because Joy, not only it's their great music and their programs, but this is sometimes the only safe space that people
have.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
I can come in here and talk to people that I can't talk about other things. Joy's also like this resource centre. I mean, you can come in the front door there and there's every possible magazine or leaflet about everything from safe sex to parenting to everything. So Joy should never, ever go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very welcoming environment. Yeah. And for people, you don't have to be involved in radio, I guess. You don't have to be passionate about media. But you can get involved and sign up as a volunteer.
But Michelle and Beck are the best examples we've got, beside us, Dave, of allies. Mm. You know, people, and I know you too, cop flack, and it's not flack, it's actually a compliment. People assume that you're either gay yourselves because you work as part of this radio station, and I would take it as a compliment, but
I reckon if these two are in a lesbian bar, they'll be taking home a few numbers. Let me just say that.
They'd be macking people left, right and centre, I think.
They would be.
Is that hip young lingo?
Yeah.
I'm learning tonight.
I taught Gina that word tonight. Yes.
Can I ask you, Beck?
Yeah.
Oh, do you, okay. Is this not a sound straight, is it?
No, but do you consider it an honour to be an ally? Do you ever have that conscious thought or not?
Absolutely. And I think I was only saying this to someone the other day, that I don't actually think I've ever felt as welcome anywhere as by this station and this community. Like, just without question or judgment or what are you doing here or why are you sticking your nose in our business?
Yeah.
Just absolute kind of love and embracing. And so I agree. I think privilege is absolutely the word.
Yeah, it is. This is a space like no other.
Mm.
You going to stick around for a little bit longer, Michelle, with us?
Yeah, how much are you going to pay me? No, I love it!
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
It is Family Matters on Thursday night. We've had Michelle in.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Beck. Doesn't she normally do 2 or 3 hours in a row?
Yeah, that's right.
You're getting fatigued by the end of it. Now, speaking of Mother's Day this Sunday, can you tell us some of Nelson's best presents to you?
Do you know, the one that stands out the most, I love cheese, really, really love cheese, and I'm not a massive fan of cards because I don't – anyway. So he bought this beautiful piece of cheese, and on the Glad wrap he wrote – I love you, Mum, blah, blah, blah. But I knew I had to eat the cheese and throw the Glad wrap away, so I took a photo of the cheese with its writing on it.
That card is so cheesy.
Thank you. Stand up, take a bow. That is
good. It doesn't deserve any airtime, but it does.
Here all night.
That's a wrap. Oh, that's good, Beck.
Has Nelson come in to Joy? Does he do any volunteering alongside with you? Because you do amazing volunteering, even at the Northside Bazaar. You're up on stage doing stuff there as well. I've seen you up there.
Yes, he does. And he used to come as a guest a lot more frequently earlier on. But as I said, I like to try and keep it a bit separate. I don't want him to think that he...
You're like, Nelson, these are my gay friends. Well, stay away.
That's right. You're my home gay. This is my away gay.
And he's also said to me, this is your space, Mum, and it's your journey and all that kind of stuff. But he used to co-host for about 6 or 8 months the youth show, the name escapes me, with Dylan Adler, probably about 3 years ago or so. So he used to be on air as well, and he's quite passionate about advocacy and social welfare and change and that kind of thing. So So he does it, but he's very mindful about keeping it separate, I think, yeah.
Now, we've got a massive radiothon week next week, and you may as well give, while you're here, you may as well give Stand Up Straight a bit of a plug because you've got some big guests coming in.
I know. We have the gorgeous Angie Green from...
Okay, I'll be in.
Clayton, I don't think you're needed next week.
Don't make this awkward, Gina.
I would love to panel.
And you've got a premiership medalist?
Yes, yeah. Matt Spanger, who was a Hawthorn. Yes, you should have had that song ready. Hawthorn.
No Hawthorn.
No,
okay.
No Hawthorn here.
Hawthorn player. So he's one of the ambassadors for stand-up events. So he's joining us. And we may have an extra special guest, which we will notify people of as soon as we find
Super
out as well.
Allies.
Stand up straight Super talking allies. Footy. That's really what it is.
Is that why Clayton's really
Yeah, Clayton's scared. So.
And
so
family matters as well. We're talking about, like,
we have
a special show.
A really special show. We've got an amazing gay foster carer coming all the way from Latrobe Valley who has been taking care of kids with special needs. So he's coming to share his amazing experience taking care of, I think he's got 3 foster kids with special needs in his care. And we'll also be having a representative from Urella helping explain that as well.
So many good people. So many good people involved in our community. And that's why Radiothon, we need to get people signed up. Yeah. You know, splash a bit of cash this way to Joy and keep us on air.
We have the blessing of putting play on that microphone and getting to celebrate some amazing heroes that are out there. But we still need some more heroes to donate.
And speaking of heroes, 9 o'clock, Beck. The Bears.
All right, I've been working on this, so bear with me. You ready?
And also, before you go, they are the Euro Bears tonight, the topic, stay tuned.
Well.
Woof, Great Britain is in the United Kingdom, who are contestants in Eurovision.
Fantastic. Rebecca Dowell, 3 votes.
Before we sign off, again, huge thank you for that $2,000 donation we got earlier tonight. Oof. That was absolutely amazing. If you want to donate, we do have an hour of power next week, so please donate.
It's Family Matters. Good night.
Family Matters, brought to you by Joy Sponsor, Nichols Family Lawyers. Family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. Nichols Law.com.au.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.